branding, experience, conversation, promotion, powerful marketing, empowering small business to change their status quo. It's the Internet Show, all about small business marketing. Jay Arrett hosts the brightest minds in marketing. Power, power to the power. Small business.
And welcome to the Internet Show that transforms entrepreneurs into marketers. My name is Jay Arrett. I am Chief Officer of Awesomeness at The Marketing Spot, which can be found on the web worldwide at themarketingspot.com. And you need that T-H-E in there. Now, with the possible exception of China, I wonder if they're blocking all this capitalistic marketing stuff in China, huh? Just a quick plug for my next premium webinar, Rise to the Top. Local SEO, search engine optimization, and Google Analytics. Details can be found at themarketingspot.com, where if you look at the promo page for the webinar, you will find an early registration discount and promo code. Just saying. Thanks for joining me on the big show. You are in for a branding treat today. We get a peek behind the scenes at one of the strongest brands in the world, the U.S. Marines, one of my top five favorite brands. Our guest is Andrew Fortunato. He is former Chief Marketing Officer of the Marines and now a retired Marine working in private business as a marketing consultant. There will be some nice key branding lessons in the show today. And remember, all the show notes and links in this episode, number 73, can be found at the podcast website, powertothesmallbusiness.com. And at the other end of our conversation, please stick around. I'll have some thoughts about branding. And then some announcements about more marketing resources for you. But right now, let's go to the Skype line and talk with Andrew Fortunato. And now it's time to bring up the Skype line. We're joining us on the Skype line is Andrew Fortunato. Andrew is a marketing consultant. He also does some marketing and executive consulting work for Executives in Action. He is also the former Chief Marketing Officer for the U.S. Marine Corps. And he is joining us today on Power to the Small Business. Andrew, hey, welcome to the big show. Yeah, I was lucky that I got a chance to meet you last week at the Dallas Social Media Breakfast, and you were on the panel, and they said, former Chief Marketing Officer of the Marines. And I said, all right, I got to talk to this guy, because the Marines are one of my favorite all-time brands.
Well, that makes two.
How long did you spend as the Chief Marketing Officer for the Marines?
A little over 4 years sitting in that role.
Cool. Now, were you an actual Marine, or were you working for a company that was marketing for the Marines?
No, I'm an actual Marine. I'm now a retired Marine officer. I've been in the private sector for a little over 3 years, but spent over 20 years in active service.
Well, I love the U.S. Marine Corps brand. They have been so consistent over the years and just done so well in communicating their brand promise and what the Marines mean. Tell us a little bit about what went into branding the Marine Corps brand and how you guys just built that brand.
Well, you know, I'll start off, Jay, by saying, you know, the United States Marine Corps and the Marines brand is a 235-year-old brand. It's a brand and organization older than America itself, you know, true American icon. So I get credit for all of it, 235 years of work. You know, I was there, you know, on active duty about 20 years. I also get blamed for all of it, but I had a short slice of it for about 4 years, so tremendously powerful. So I'm happy to talk about you know, anything in there.
What makes the U.S. Marine Corps such a strong brand? And we're talking from the marketing perspective. Obviously, the Marine Corps itself is a great organization, has so much heritage. But from a marketing perspective, what makes the Marines such a great brand?
Well, from a brand perspective, what makes the Marines fabulous brand is that it truly knows what it is and what it represents and what its value proposition is to the American people, to the public, to prospects, and to the nation overall. You know, the brand essence, the core of the brand, that elite warrior never moves away from that, no matter what's happening in the world, what's happening in the market. And I think that's key to any brand and any brand positioning is really knowing who you are, what you represent, and being true to that all the time. And that's the key, I think, for branding for any organization.
That's a branding pitfall, isn't it? Because when companies try to craft their brand, sometimes they go out into the public and say, I wonder what the people would like. Let's see if we can build a brand that the people would like. And instead, the Marines and lots of great brands, they start from the inside and say, let's build this from the inside out.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And to say pitfall was absolutely accurate. And it's easy to do. You know, a lot of competitive pressure, a lot of market pressure to maneuver, you know, around the competition and do what's, you know, seems what's timely and relevant. But, you know, that's what gets a lot of companies in trouble sometimes. They try to become trendy. So the challenge is, how do you balance trends and what's happening in, you know, popular culture without ever straying away from what the brand truly represents?
So when you were chief marketing officer of the Marines and you were watching over the brand, what were some of the things that you did to make sure that the Marines maintained brand relevance and stayed the course?
Well, you know, first of all, we started with the perspective that the United States Marine Corps brand was extremely valuable and we were never going to break the brand no matter what we did. So things that would seem, you know, happening, going on in the pop culture, we probably wouldn't do. And the number one thing we did was something we called the Blues Test. And what that was, you know, when you measured the brand and you put a United States Marine or United States Marine Corps up against any environment or into any environment, we'd ask ourselves the question, you know, would this look right, feel right, be right if my grandfather was standing here, you know, next to a Marine in full dress blues and, you know, what you see is the brand represents. So that was really the number one thing, is knowing, you know, never to stray away and what not to stray away from.
So can you give maybe an equivalent of the Blues Test for some of our listeners? Let's say you're an independent entrepreneur and you have your business. How can we apply that lesson to our own brand?
Sure. So, you know, what we looked at a lot is, you can imagine when you're an organization as large as United States Marines, any number of vendors and sales organizations would come pitching their product, you know, a lot of mass media type things. And, you know, we would get asked a lot of times, hey, you've got commercials, you've got advertising, and organizations would try to sell us advertising. And some of those organizations were just not the right fit for the brand. I won't name names, but, you know, very conscious of, you know, how you would you look in a certain network or a certain forum, you know, probably forums where you would have different organizations with certain political, religious views, or any kind of, you know, apolitical type environment was obviously the wrong place for us to be, or any kind of, you know, organizational forum that would represent something that just was not a good fit culturally, what people wouldn't expect, you know, to see the Marine Corps in, or, you know, where would you expect to see Marines. So things that were popular back in the day, you know, where we would tend to spend our time with those things that were oriented towards family values and where fathers and sons mostly would spend time together, you know, watching football games. NFL football, for instance, was a tremendously powerful venue for us. NCAA basketball, and those type of places where you would tend to see us. And then, you know, other areas we would stay away from that didn't kind of fit that image.
So you put your brand in context and you made sure that you never presented your brand out of context from the way people, you know, would perceive your brand then.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think, you know, a lot of people would look at a forum like the X Games, you know, this time of year, the winter X Games with the extreme athletes as kind of being on the fringe of that. But when you cut away down to the core of what it all represented, competition, you know, people trying to reach their full potential and perform at their highest capacity and do their best. And those are the values that the organization itself represented, and that's why we felt like, you know, being part of the X Games in the summer and the winter was tremendously powerful. You know, ESPN was a great organization to partner with to put that on and make that happen. So, you know, that would be kind of an example of, you know, how the culture, the pop culture evolved and some of the media forms that were available to us to maintain relevance and stay in front of our target audience, which is primarily, you know, high school age males, where they were, what was interesting, topical, and still a forum that really, you know, matched very well with, you know, what the core represents.
Now, I understand that you have a very narrow target demographic, and so you want to be in front of that target demographic. But what you said here about lifestyle and about the psychographics of your target customer, you kept your brand in context and that you don't get out into wild, not necessarily, you know, the new pop culture stuff, but it's the lifestyle of the person that you want also. And I think that sometimes loses, you know, on a local level, a business owner will lose sight of that. And we try to say, let's be all things to everybody. Let's see how many people we can reach and go for numbers. And it seems like the Marines, you've avoided that temptation and you stay true to your brand.
Yeah, well, it was a hard lesson learned, Jay, and it wasn't something that we learned overnight. You know, if you look back into 1972 time frame, when the United States was transforming from, you know, the draft era, Vietnam era military force to the all-volunteer force that we know today and continues to exist since that time, that there was a thought pattern. And, you know, sometimes people call it hubris or whatever, that, you know, our organization is great. Who wouldn't want to work with us, be, you know, partner with us? Who wouldn't want to be a United States Marine or buy our product or service, you know, whatever is relevant to your particular business? So there was a thought back then that, you know, we wouldn't really need to market and sell the Corps because everybody would want to be a Marine, right? Who wouldn't? So the hard lesson learned back then was, well, you know what? Guess what? That's not true. We've got to sell, you know, the intangibles and the service and the qualities of the organization just like any other business does. So it was a hard lesson learned at age, you know, did a piece on that, I think, back around 1972, 73 time frame, where the leadership of the Corps talked about that very thing at the time. And that's kind of something they've taken on board and learned and continue to maintain to this day, was that, you know, we learned very early in the transition to the modern age of the marketing of the Corps that not everybody wanted to be a Marine, and to hone in on who would be the right prospects.
Well, I like what you said about intangibles, because sometimes business owners and brands, they get caught up in the tangibles and they think that's what makes their brand, you know, how many features and benefits we have. But the Marine Corps is about the intangibles that you get from being a Marine.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Now, I'll tell you that, you know, from a value proposition standpoint, what the value of being a Marine in a tangible sense is no different than any of the benefits you get from any of, you know, participation and service in any of the other armed forces in the United States, right? That the difference that we felt like what was absolutely the intangible value, what it meant to become a Marine. And that's why, yes, you know, the Marine Corps has money for college and job skills and all those other things you hear the other services and the competition focus on all the time. But what the other services don't have is what that intangible value is, of what it means to be a Marine, what it is to live that lifestyle, you know, wear the dress blue uniform, and really be out on the edge and the forefront of what America represents in the world. And that's the difference, and that's where we felt the value proposition was in, you know, our market segmentation and how to really communicate that message.
Let's talk a little bit about your tagline, or the Marine tagline, Andrew, if you don't mind here. The few, the proud. It says so little, but it says a whole lot. What came into making of that tagline, the few, the proud? Because the Marines have stuck with that tagline for as long as I can remember.
Yep, that's exactly right. That, you know, goes hand in hand with, you know, what I mentioned earlier was the what we consider to be the modern age of Marine advertising, right? So, you know, for almost 200 years, the only advertising the Corps did was word of mouth, networking, posters, right? You have all those iconic, traditional, you know, World War II, you know, posters and imagery that goes along with that. Coming into the Vietnam era, that continued largely, and back at that time, you know, the tagline was, "We're looking for a few good men," right, if you remember that. So, wanted to, you know, maintain the qualities of the few, because the United States Marine Corps is the smallest armed service of the major armed services out there. And that's what the few was all about. And the proud, you know, wanted to absolutely encompass and capture and encapsulate what it meant to be a member of the few and the pride in becoming one of the few. And that's what the communications, the message, you see that in all the major advertising and the commercials is all about, and it goes along with those intangible aspects we talked about earlier, is that it's the intangibles and selling that is what it is to me, what does it mean to you, and what's the personal pride that you develop, you know, in becoming a Marine and going from somebody who's just like anybody else in, you know, modern society, coming out of high school in most cases, to then becoming, you know, a very respected figure, not just on a local level, but, you know, part of an organization that has world respected. So that's what those, you know, two elements of the few and proud are all about.
Let's talk a little bit about, you've mentioned the other services here a couple times, and pop culture. And I want to bring up the Army specifically here, and I don't want to get into a battle of the armed forces here. My dad was in the Army, and so I like to say I spent 17 years in the Army as a child. But the Army branding, in my opinion, hasn't been as successful over the years. For a long time, it was the Army, be all you can be. And then for a while, they went to this, an Army of One, which seemed to be a play on pop culture at the time, the whole me society. And they let go of that quickly, and now they're, I think they're on to Army Strong right now. Why have they switched around so much and been, in my mind, so inconsistent as compared to the Marines?
Well, I think you mentioned it earlier, Jay, right? It's that challenge of not trying to be all things to all people, you know, all the time. And, you know, what I'll say about that is, yeah, from a talent acquisition standpoint, keep in mind that, yes, you know, the Marines competed with the Army, and the Army was the nearest, you know, peer competitor in that space. But at the end of the day, you know, we're all on the same side. We're all on the same team, right? And I think that's important to remember is that, you know, whether you're a Marine, Sailor, Soldier, Airman, you're all still part of, you know, United States Armed Forces and contributing to a common goal and all working collaboratively very, very close together. I think that the challenge the Army ran into was one that we encountered at the time, too. And you had a generational shift happening in, you know, late 1990s, early 2000 timeframe, and that was, you know, the key core market was switching from a Generation X type market to the Millennial generation or Generation Y, and that put a lot of competitive pressure on how do you gain relevance. And, you know, what you said earlier is what we want to talk about today: how do you maintain relevance, you know, with an institutional, you know, American icon, you know, over time, when you are confronted with something that was very different and you had no experience with before, and that was a change, a fundamental change in the orientation of the target market from what Generation X's expectations were to what this new unknown millennial, you know, Generation Y, you know, at the time was going to be all about and how to connect with them.
But at the same time, the Marines maintained their consistency. Was there stuff going on the Marines did to help make that generational shift?
Yeah, absolutely. And what you'll notice we did at the time is, you know, a lot of, you know, thought leadership, a lot of research went into it. We saw it coming. We knew it was coming. So then we had the time to develop a strategy and a plan in order to adapt to it. You know, so did the other services, and we all worked, you know, together on that. It's just, you know, each service has the luxury of trying to communicate its own individual message. So what we did at the time was, you know, one of the changes that I ushered in and made was, you remember that the Generation X commercials were the, you know, what people call the Dungeons and Dragons type commercials. They were the very dark, you know, they had the lava monster and those kinds of elements in them, those big, you know, massive, scary type of, you know, things. I kind of felt like at the time that we had taken that as far as we could. So I changed the presentation, or, you know, recommend that we change the presentation at the time to the more reality-based format that you see still continuing to today.
We're speaking with Andrew Fortunato. He's a marketing consultant in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He's also a former chief marketing officer for the U.S. Marine Corps, and we're pleased to have him on our podcast today. Let's talk a little bit now, Andrew, about those commercials and about your advertising and the connection between branding and advertising. How do you take your brand and turn it into advertising? Because that's the communications piece that you have with potential customers. How do you do that?
Well, in our case, what we did is, you know, we stuck with the one core fundamental, and you mentioned it earlier, you know, the few, the proud, the Marines. And what is it that somebody joins, you know, the Marine Corps for, and why do you become a Marine? And it's quite simply, you know, you join the Marine Corps, and it's different from the other services for no other reason than to become a Marine and to be a United States Marine and to serve as a United States Marine and to serve the American people in that capacity. So we felt like, you know, how you communicate that in advertising was very simple. That's also what led us to the intangible strategy of let's focus on what it means to become a Marine and the transformation process of becoming a Marine and doing that in an abstract way, you know, metaphorical way, using symbols and icons to represent imagery that would connect with the public, and then also find metaphors for the transformation process that happens to an individual as they go through the recruit training process and go from, you know, private citizen to the United States Marine. And that's what you see consistently portrayed in every advertisement, especially the television and movie advertising that you see since the advent of the new age of Marine Corps advertising, which started with the sword commercial, if you remember that, back in the 1983 time frame.
Wow, that commercial's from 1983, the sword commercial?
Yeah, and you know, people still tell me that they see it today, but there's been a string of commercials since then that have built on that very fundamental sword. And you know, what sword represents was you took a chunk of iron, right, and steel, and it was all about pounding it on an anvil on a forge, heating it up, right, and turning it into a sword. And that sword happened to be, you know, the Mameluke sword, which is a unique element of the Marine Corps. No other military service has the Mameluke sword, and that goes back to, you know, the era of Thomas Jefferson when he was president, and the Barbary Pirates when the United States Marines were sent into Africa to defeat the Barbary Pirates to open up sea lanes of trade and prevent piracy against the United States. And from there, you know, the Marine Corps, the Marine officer in particular, has maintained that element as part of their uniform ever since. So it was unique. So it was a very unique way to communicate and connect with what Marines meant that nobody else could use, right? And that transformation of the sword then continues in every commercial since then of the individual journey. And that's what you see in every commercial, is that element of transformation from, you know, becoming, you know, whatever you were before to becoming a United States Marine.
I guess the final gauge then, Andrew, is, does it work? I mean, how successful do you think the branding for the Marine Corps has been? And translate it into advertising. What kind of response do you get? And do you think, you know, this brand is responsible for the success of recruitment for the Marines?
Yeah, I think the Marines and the Marines everywhere, former Marines especially, are responsible for, you know, what the Marines are seen as and become. There is a great support base across America of current Marines and former Marines who are the first ones, you know, the brand ambassadors to be out there, because they understand better than anybody else what unique aspects of being a United States Marine are, and they're very capable and well-versed in articulating that to anybody. You know, the brand imagery supports that, helps that, reinforces that sense of pride, absolutely. The advertising has been tremendously successful. The Marine Corps, you know, from a talent acquisition, sales acquisition standpoint, has been successful continuously with an unbroken string of recruiting success that you know, the advertising has supported. So, yes, I would say it absolutely works. It's a challenge every day. It's not easy. I think, you know, become a lot harder without the advertising. But as always with an organization like the United States Marine Corps, it's about the Marines, and we give credit to the Marines, but we like to think the advertising certainly helps.
Well, to wrap up, Andrew, you've got an audience of small business owners, solo entrepreneurs here listening to you talk about branding. What are some key points that you would want them to take away from our discussion today that they can apply to their brand? What do you think are some of the key points?
Here are the key points, Jay, for any small business owner or for any large organization as well. The rules are universal and absolute for branding. Number one, know what your organization represents and what it stands for and portray it like that. You know, a brand has got to be absolutely credible in order for it to work. So it's not something that can be contrived. It's not something that can be made up. If your organization doesn't truly represent the values that you're trying to portray in the brand, it's going to be very transparent. It's going to be seen as false. And you're going to lack credibility. And really, that's what the brand does. It provides credibility to your organization. So in short, you know, keep your eye on the ball. Don't stray. Know what's important to you and your organization, and maintain that, and then look for the opportunities as the market situation environment changes to interject that brand appropriately.
And I'm very happy, Andrew, here at the end of our discussion to say that not once during this whole branding discussion did we talk about logos. So there we go.
Okay. Well, you want to talk about logos?
No, that's okay. That was just a joke because a lot of people start with a logo, and we didn't mention it at all.
No, that's a pitfall, right? A lot of people think of a logo, a tagline, or whatever, are the brand. That's just an element of a campaign that rides along with your brand. And that's a common mistake to think, I've got my logo, so that's my brand. That's an image or icon that represents what your brand stands for.
Well, our guest today has been Andrew Fortunato, marketing consultant to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and also former chief marketing officer for the U.S. Marine Corps. Andrew, if we want to find out more about you or get in touch with you on the web, I will link to you in the show notes, but where can we find some of your stuff on the web?
You can find the most up-to-date and accurate information on my LinkedIn page, which is http://www.linkedin.com/in/AndrewFortunato, AndrewFortunato.
All right, Andrew, we sure appreciate all your insight today and sharing with us some of the backstory of the Marine brand.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it, and I certainly enjoyed being here today.
Well, you would do well to copy the branding habits of the U.S. Marines. A laser focus on their value proposition, being true to who you are, selling the intangibles, a simple tagline that says a lot in just a few words, adapting to demographic shifts but maintaining the value proposition, not bowing down to pop culture. Those are the things that have kept the U.S. Marines one of the top brands in the world. Thanks to Andrew Fortunato for sharing. Now for some announcements, themarketingspot.com is undergoing some renovation, and the remodeling will be unveiled soon, and it may already be up depending on when you hear this podcast. New features are coming this spring, including a cache of marketing tools and resources for the small business owner and solo entrepreneur. In the process, I'm going to migrate my blog, which has been separate for the past 4 years on the Google Blogger platform. I'm going to migrate it to my new website, which is on WordPress, while hopefully maintaining all my links and search engine juice. Please pray for me. Hey, don't forget about my premium webinar, Rise to the Top, Local SEO and Google Analytics. Details can be found at themarketingspot.com. Or if you look at the promo page, you'll find an early registration discount and promo code. Our thanks to Andrew Fortunato. I will link to all his stuff and have his quotes and show notes on the podcast website, powertothesmallbusiness.com. It's where you'll also find the link to subscribe to the show in iTunes, and it'll come to you whenever there's a new show available to download. May God bless your business, and thanks for listening to the internet show that's all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.
You've been listening to Power to the Small Business with Jay Arrett, the internet show exclusively about small business marketing. Please see the complete show notes at themarketingspotblog.com. You can also listen to the show online and subscribe in iTunes at powertothesmallbusiness.com. Never miss an episode of the internet show all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.
Special thanks to Mary Lynn Foster of the Big Success Podcast for creating the opening and closing voiceovers of Power to the Small Business. You can find Mary Lynn at the Big Success Show, BIGGSuccess.com.